The final book in the Bible, Revelation, contains a mysterious vision given to the Apostle John. It's a foretelling or prophecy of things to come. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll describes a dominant political figure that will capture world attention. In Revelation, he's called the Beast Out of the Sea, or the Antichrist. What are the primary traits of this villainous figure? Let's pick up the message now, right where we left off on Friday's program. Teaching from Revelation chapter 13, Chuck titled his message, Antichrist, the Beast Out of the Sea.
All of you know that one of the conferences that Cynthia and I say yes to is a conference up in westernmost Virginia, where we go almost every year to minister to the people of Capitol Hill and some from the Pentagon, the flag officers. And in this gathering at Wintergreen Conference Ground, we have the opportunity to minister four times, once on Friday evening, twice Saturday morning, and then again on Sunday morning before we fly back home. That means Saturday night is left a little free for some fun, and these people enjoy fun. Folks from D.C. need more fun. And so Saturday night, it's always a fun night. It's a delightful time. This last conference, we had the best ventriloquist on the planet. He was fabulous. He had four dummies he travels with, literally. And he gives them life, and he uses them, and they do everything but sing in harmony. I wondered as I watch him, is he possessed? Anyway, he's able to do this kind of thing, and they talk back and forth, and he hardly moves his lips. David Pendleton is a master at this. And he uses the audience and people's names from the audience as he has these four creatures sitting there. And you find yourself wanting to talk to the dummies. In fact, he does interviews with people. And here are these four-star generals answering this dummy as he goes back and forth answering questions. Well, that morning, in the middle of the busyness of the morning, I really had to go to the bathroom. And so while everybody was in the conference, this ties together, trust me. Everybody stayed for the question and answer session. I slipped out to go to the bathroom. Well, I walked in, and while I was in there, I thought, this is the nicest men's room I've ever seen in my life. All these booths, there's nothing out in the open. Men just don't have it like this. Which told me I was in the wrong restroom. And I finished, and of course, the great concern, really you have two great concerns, is anyone else in here? And second, will anybody see me leave through this door? Well, I made it back, and like you, I told them what happened, and they just broke into great laughter. Well, that night, David Pendleton has this old lady who was a part of his four dummies, and she's looking all around the audience, and she looks over at me. And he says to her, do you know him? She says, yes. And he said, where did you see him? Oh, I met him in the restroom this morning. Pendleton has a fantastic presentation in the middle of his fun stuff. He says, let me show all of you something. We all got quiet. And he picks up one of these creatures, and it kind of hangs over, nothing. And he puts his hand up behind, and suddenly the head pops up. And he gives this little creature a voice. And he gives this little creature personality. And you find yourself amazed that you don't even look at David anymore as you see these little creatures he gives life to. He uses it as a wonderful presentation of the gospel. Without Christ, we are nothing. But when he comes into our life, he gives us the whole purpose for being, even our personality. That's the beast. That's the beast. But the awfulness is that the power comes from the source of the worst kind of evil and the most brilliant of plans and the most persuasive of speeches. And the most believable of concepts. Verse 5 says, there was given to it a mouth, meaning a message. And not surprisingly, because Satan is arrogant, he will speak arrogant words. And because Satan is blasphemous, he will speak blasphemy. And the people will hear it, and the people will believe it, and the people will love it. Furthermore, he will have, there's our word exousia again, he will have authority, and it will be given to him for the last 3.5 years of this dreadful period yet future. The last era of this time when all hell will have broken loose. And he will come on the earth to have that kind of persuasive leadership. And we read he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God. Why, of course, Satan has done that since he was since he arose in his own pride in the heavenlies. And he blasphemes his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. He takes delight in turning against the things of the Lord and turning the people away from spiritual things and away from angelic work and even the work of the church. It was given to it to make war with the saints. You better believe it. The only ones not following him are the people who are following Jesus. By now, those who had been left behind when we're taken off the earth, many of them have come to realize that there was a Messiah, there was a Savior, and my friend who told me about this Christian message was true and told me the truth, and now they believe. And so there are these who follow Christ, and therefore they will not worship this one who will have such persuasive leadership and power. And we read that he will make war with the saints, and the goal is to exterminate them, as we read, to overcome them. And again, authority over, he was given authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. It will sweep the world. There will not be a television broadcast without the mention of his name. There will not be a significant event on world affairs, at least politically, where his name does not come up and his image is not on the face of the television. He will be a household name across the around the world, around the globe. He is Satan's pawn, speaking arrogant, blasphemous words, and the scope will be among all the nations and people and tongues and tribes. And talk about loyalty. Verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. That is, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Who is that? Well, that's the Christian. That's that pocket of uncooperative believers. As in the Nazi regime, that would be those who hid the Jews. That would be those who didn't give Hitler their loyalty. And these people are seen as turncoats. Even fellow citizens will hate them. Those who follow the beast will carry the credit cards that allow them to buy and will have the ability to sell and to live under their own roof. These will probably be without homes to live in, destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now, for the last part of this message, I want you to imagine yourself in a small pocket of believers in this period of time. You've survived the first 3.5 years. Now you see emerging this leader. You're alone with 2 or 3 others hiding in a cave or some distant wilderness. Somebody had enough forethought to bring along a New Testament. And you turn to Revelation 13:9. And you realize God's talking to you. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And now the believers of that era are given instruction, since the persecution has now reached a maddening level. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. What does that mean? Well, I go back to Corrie ten Boom and her being a part of the hiding of the Jews. Remember when they came and they were found out and the Nazis appeared, they didn't fight them. They went into captivity. They trusted in their Lord and his providence to preserve them. This was not a time to retaliate. This was a time to cooperate. You're sunk. You can't make it alive, so go in. Go with them. Doesn't mean you follow their teaching. It means you go into captivity. Look further. If any kills with the sword, you can expect death in return. You resist when surrounded by those aggressive armies, you're finished. You trust the Lord to hold you close. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saint. You say, you know what? I'd be a part of the resistance party. I don't believe in ever doing something like that. Really? You've already forgotten 1 Peter 2, where it speaks of Christ, who though he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripe we are healed. It was a non-resistance. It was a submission. They didn't murder him. He gave up his life. They didn't look around and have to find him as he was running. He said, I've told you all along, I am he. So some of the soldiers fell back, hardly able to believe their ears that he wouldn't run or he wouldn't fight. He even rebuked Peter for cutting off an ear of one of the soldiers, remember? He's telling these believers in the future, you live for Christ. One day after another, you trust him. And if they find you and bring you into captivity, you go. Because if you kill with the sword, you'll be killed in return. Here's the perseverance and faith of the saints. Now, I realize some of this stuff is enough to keep you up every night from now on. You're just going to not sleep anymore, having heard this. You think, maybe I'm living next door to the beast, or maybe it is Clinton, after all. I don't know. No, don't go there. Or maybe it is, you know, they name some guy over there in some Gentile country, and maybe we need to stop that. Yes, I believe he could very well be on the earth scene. Yes, I believe he could be born and could be growing up right now. Yes, I could. I believe the time is so short, I think he could maybe be in his college years, going through training right now. I don't know that he knows that this is his role. I don't know that that's fallen into place yet, but I believe it is that real. How do I go on? Let me give you two or three realities that I want you to remember. This is the part I don't want you to forget. The other stuff is interpretive, and you've got to come to terms with some of it on your own study, but this, you can take this to the bank. Here are three realities, and each of the three ends in something that's not known at the time. It isn't visible. It isn't audible. It's behind the scenes. Here's what I mean. Number one, satanic wonders are often impressive, but they are always deceptive. Satanic wonders are often impressive, but they are always deceptive. Keep that in mind, will you, when you come across information about certain so-called miracles, or certain wonders and signs, be careful. Don't gravitate in that direction. Not only will you be misled, you will be deceived. They may be wonders, and they may be miraculous, but remember, God is not the only source of the miraculous. Satan is a supernatural power. He can do miracles. But in God's miracles, there is never anything deceptive. It's what it is, and he gets all the glory for it. Here's a second reality I don't want you to ever forget. Wherever anything or anyone other than God is worshiped, Satan is pleased. Wherever anything or anyone other than God is worshiped, Satan is pleased. Remember, the enemy's goal is to keep us from worshiping the Lord. He will have you worship anything, just so it isn't God. And the list is pages long. I love the third one because it's full of hope. When Satan's power is at its worst, God's providence is at its best. Isn't that wonderful? When it seems all is lost, God is doing his best work. I think it was Churchill who said of Hitler, "Let him do his worst, we will do our best." We saw the best of Britain during the Blitzkrieg and the Luftwaffe that bombed that great country almost into oblivion, but the spirit never died. Now you say, "You know, Chuck, I hear you, but I need to have something really powerful in return to stand against the enemy." No, you don't. As a Christian, you have that power. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a name before even the demons will bow and back off. The blood of Christ from the Lamb of God is the most powerful of all authorities in heaven and earth. You can rest in that. Let me give you a simple technique, and I'm copying it from Paul. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, when you get up in the morning, do it for the glory of God. When you carry out your work, carry it out for the glory of God. When you are with your friends, be with them to glorify God, to make the most of the moment in his name. Let him be magnified. It's not about you. It's about him. That's why worship is always so satisfying. We were created for that. And when it finds its fulfillment in the living God, there is no power that can eclipse that. So tonight, when it gets dark and you hear a bump, not to worry. Don't run afraid of the dark. Don't start concerning yourself over sounds in the attic. Don't let your imagination run away from you. The enemy loves it when you run scared. You have nothing to fear. Unless, of course, you don't know Christ. And if you don't know Christ, it could be a demon, but don't let it bother you. I just thought of that, and I thought I'd throw that in. You know what? Let me tell you, I'm going to lay it straight. It'd scare the bejeeber out of me if I didn't know Christ, honestly. There are people that read this kind of stuff. You know, this is the sun. Bible prophecies coming true. There it is. Saw a lady at the grocery store the other day, bought four. Not of these, but the one about the two-headed snake that this gal gave birth to. And on and on. Stay away from that nonsense. This is ridiculous. Are you kidding? I can hardly wait. Well, ooh. That's why we are given a copy of the scriptures, because you don't run into any snakes unless it's a symbol of something you need to know about, and then God will tell you what that is. We got a confused world going on around us, folks. Doesn't mean we're proud and smug. It breaks our hearts. It means we care very much about those who hear bumps in the night and can't sleep, and who worry when they're all alone and it's dark. And they see all his films and all these games they play with demonic influence, and they're scared. You know the only good thing? That their fright will lead them to their knees. They'll come to the Savior. Let's bow together. Maybe you've never in your life heard a message quite like this. Maybe it's just enough to tweak your interest to open the other 65 books. But you need Christ to have him help you make sense of it, to keep you in balance, to guard you against foolish extremes and needless fears. You know the good news? He's available. He's willing. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's got your name all over it. Wouldn't you like to know someone who accepts you just like you are? Give him your life. guarantee a ticket to glory. Free yourself from all of the terrible things yet future. Talk to us. Connect with us. Write us. Communicate. Let us hear from you. We'll guard your privacy and we'll help you get back on your feet. I want to thank you today, Lord, for the truth that you have so carefully preserved. Thank you for devoted, quiet, yet great-hearted men and women, some of them scholars, some of them not. Thank you for faithful peasants, for simple people who just realized that the truth is God's truth. And as we look back into our heritage, we just see a whole row of them. We thank you for saving them and then leading them to teach us so we'd believe. Deliver us, our Father, from the chaos of panic and the numerous fears that drive people nuts these days. Help us in the peace we find in Christ to grow in our passion for those who don't know you. And give us courage to tell them graciously about the Savior. I pray for anyone who's hearing these words right now that you'd reduce them to submission, bring them to a place of humility where they'll acknowledge that they're lost and they'll turn to you and your Son. It's in His name we have met, it's Him we worship. And it's because of Him we pray, even the name of Christ our Lord. Everybody said, Amen.
If you joined us late in the program, Chuck Swindoll, our Bible teacher, is teaching from Revelation chapter 13. He titled today's message, Antichrist, the Beast Out of the Sea. Stay with us because we've set aside a few minutes to hear an important update from Chuck in just a bit. First, did you know that Insight for Living has published a brand new Bible workbook that coincides with this study in Revelation? This Searching the Scriptures Bible study is spiral-bound and designed to lay flat so you can take personal notes. And today, Acts 1 and 2 of the Revelation series are available. To purchase these printed workbooks for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies, go to insight.org/offer or call us at 800-772-8888. And then we'd like to say thank you to those who generously support Insight for Living with voluntary gifts. Through your generosity, you're accomplishing far more than sustaining a nonprofit organization. Actually, your gift has a profound spiritual impact. Remember the first time you started listening to Insight for Living? Do you recall the way you began to grow spiritually when you discovered the power of God's Word? Well, those same moments are happening every day to people all around the world who engage in these daily programs, and they're made possible by people just like you. So today we're calling on those who want to join us in this effort. You can be the one to help others search the Scriptures with us every day here on Insight for Living. And now, here's Chuck.
We're on the verge of reaching a very significant date in our ministry's history. We're completing 45 years of serving the message of Christ to the world. Started back in 1979, and here we are in 2024, and our fiscal year ends the last day of June of this year. Since our beginning, we've always relied on the Lord's leading to support the work of this ministry. We have no grant. We have no denominational background that we can fall back on, no rich group of people that we can call on, though there are some who give sizable gifts. Many support us with smaller gifts, regular gifts, and often some wait until the very end of our fiscal year, and then they give their gift at that time. That may be your style. And there may be some of you who have benefited from our ministry for some time, but you've never sent in a gift. So let me tell you the importance of your donation. Without the giving of God's people, there cannot be Insight for Living Ministries. We can't continue without the faithful support of people just like you. As you look back over your spiritual growth, if Insight for Living has played a part in that, perhaps even a major role in that, we would love to receive from you your gratitude type gift that says, thank you for all that you've provided for me. Here's my gift to you. Use it, and may God bless you as you continue on in your work. We plan to continue on. So let me say in advance, thank you. If you're already a giver and you faithfully provide monthly gifts to us, thank you for that. You'll never know how much that means to us and the planning that we have put into our ministry.
Thanks, Chuck. And here's how to respond. If you prefer to send a personal check in the mail, address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Again, that's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. If you prefer, you can give your donation by calling this number, 800-772-8888. Or it may be quicker and more efficient to simply give a gift online at insight.org. Did you realize the Antichrist will have a second in command? To learn more, join us for Chuck Swindoll's study in Revelation, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Antichrist, the Beast Out of the Sea, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.